Hello, everyone. Carrie here from Homestead Howe. Welcome to the channel. Welcome, Ryan from Against the Grain. How you doing, Ryan?
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. I'm pretty sure I've watched maybe one of your farming videos. I know I saw your carnivore video for sure. And I think it was before I even started carnivore, because you've been going for a while, right?
Well, I hadn't posted anything carnivore until just maybe 3 weeks ago, but I have had the farm YouTube up. I stopped that for a little bit while this whole transition was going on, so I was down for about 6 months. But I've been posting consistently before that for about 3 years.
Wow, you look great, by the way. You look totally different, because I was catching up on some things earlier and I watched a few of your older videos, and man, what a transformation. So you're down 100 pounds from your heaviest.
106, I believe, right now. So yeah, it's a big change in it. A literal big weight off my chest.
Yes. Hey man, 100 pounds is heavy. I know
it too.
I did it. Yeah, it happened for me like a week ago. My goal was to get down to 162. At my heaviest, I was 262. And I was just teetering around like 165. And my body was just like, no, it just, no matter what I did, I was doing lion diet for the last like 60 days. And that really seemed to help me. Although I recently kind of went back to carnivore and cheated a little bit. But so yeah, hey, we're both in the 100 pound loss club, which is pretty awesome.
Congratulations.
Yeah, to you too. I'm happy to talk to you. So would you mind maybe telling us a little bit about, of course we'll talk carnivore, but maybe your life before starting carnivore? Like, how'd you get to this point?
Well, I moved out to about here to Northeast Texas, March of 2020, right in the middle of the craziness. So that was fun. You know, I moved out here, I was probably 235, 240. Doing all the work around the farm, you know, it's a lot going, you know, building fences, moving animals, just daily everything stuff. You know how it is on the homestead. There's a lot. And out here in Texas, it gets hot. Figured I sweat a lot more. I can maybe eat a little bit more. And the plan was to get to start eating healthier as soon as I started, you know, producing my own food. And, you know, with steers, my steers, they're all grass fed, grass finished. It takes almost 3 years for them to finish. Mm. So, you know, it took a little while. They were processing the first ones this next week. But before that, I got complacent. I was eating anything I wanted. I was Mr. Jose Ole taquito box every night. I was just eating all kinds of bad, you know, ice cream, all the just anything that you can think of bad. That's what I was doing. And then December 2nd, 2022, I knew I needed to make a change. I didn't know how big of a change. I jumped on the scale. It said 286.6. And I said, there's no way that I'm getting another ounce of weight, because that was just, I've never been anywhere close to that. I thought I was going to jump on the scale and I'm going to say like 245, 250, and I need to drop like, you know, 15, 20 pounds and I'd be all right. When I saw that and I looked at myself and I went, okay, this is a major change to me needed. And I heard about the carnivore diet like probably a few years ago on, I think it was Joe Rogan, was hesitant to do it then because it just seemed a little bit too extreme. But at this point I knew that I was 13.4 pounds away from 300, which I knew was not going to happen. I needed something extreme.
Right. Wow. It's good that you didn't get to 300, but that would have been kind of cool too, to be like, is that 300 at my heaviest? No, not at all. I guess not.
No, it's funny. You
saw Joe Rogan too. It's crazy how many people from Joe Rogan, either Joe Rogan talking about it, because I know Dr. Baker was really the first person talking about it on Rogan. I don't know if that was the one you saw, but I was going to say that was the other one. That combination, that Jordan Peterson. I get so many comments on my channel, and myself included. I came across that Jordan Peterson one. There's actually a shorter version of it too, but you look at that guy and how smart he is, and he's been doing this for 5 years now. It's got to make you think twice about it. But yeah. After you saw that, what was your next steps? Because I saw Dante from Frigno Freedom. I don't know if you've seen his channel before, but he has an incredible story over 2 years, but I was like, this guy's crazy. This guy's an outlier. There's something's weird. Something's fishy. And then I saw Jordan Peterson and I just kept watching more and more and more. Eventually got to Dr. Barry and probably watched 100 of his videos. But what was your kind of progression after seeing the Joe Rogan video?
Out of sight, out of mind, because that was years ago. I thought, you know, cool. That's good for them. I thought going on the extreme of both ends of anything is probably bad, but I wasn't really open to it. But I kept seeing stuff. I kept seeing stuff, you know, consistently about it. And I just went, okay, after I saw that number on the scale, I said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go all in on this and see where it takes me. And that same night, I threw everything away in my fridge. I threw everything away in the pantry. Went to the store and pick up a couple steaks that next day. I got New York strips and I got some ground beef because I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't do any research or anything. I just said, okay, they said eat meat. I'm going to eat meat. And, you know, a little bit of a mistake, kind of. I just jumped right into it. And that's why my first 2 weeks were awful because I didn't do the research and I wasn't, you know, adding any kind of salt. I was getting New York strip, which has basically no fat on it. So I was just kind of starving myself. But then I started making tweaks and stuff, and then it became a lot better. After the first 2 weeks, it's been pretty smooth sailing since then.
So the first 2 weeks, you didn't get like the electrolytes, the salt and stuff like that. Was it kind of like the keto flu, like achy, sick?
I think one day I slept 23 out of the 24 hours because it was just, I felt so bad. I mean, I was literally, I would just start sweating out of nowhere. I was going through, I don't even think it was the keto flu. I think it was a sugar withdrawal because I was bombarding myself with carbs and sugar for so long that my body went, okay, this is different. So that it was like the first night I had a really hard time sleeping. First two, the second, third night. It was really bad. I've never been through any kind of withdrawal before. And if that was a withdrawal, that was pretty tough.
Wow. And so you just muscled through it. Were you at any point like, okay, this is enough now.
I knew that I couldn't get another ounce. I told myself there's no way that I'm getting another ounce of weight. There's absolutely no way. So I didn't check the scale until like day five. Okay. And it was on day five that I was like, I'm stopping this. There's no way that I can survive on this for any length of time. But when I got on that scale, I was down 6 or 7 pounds. And I went, instead of, 280s, it was now 279 ish or something like that. And I went, okay, keep going. And then I think that was the day that I started watching some stuff and going, maybe I need to do a little bit more. I didn't do salt or electrolytes. I ate a little bit of bacon. And had some salt in it and it felt, I felt a little bit better. And it was still rough, but if I didn't see those results on the scale, I probably would have quit, to be honest. But seeing those results, I went, no, I gotta, I'm sticking to this, going 100% on it.
Right. So you got through the 2 weeks and then what was it kind of like after that for you?
It was like a switch got flipped. I was able to zero in the types of meat that I like. I mean, for me, it's weird. I have a really hard time getting full off of ground beef. I can go eat 2 or 3 pounds of that, but then I found a chuck steak and I can get full off of 3/4 pound to 1 pound of chuck steak a day. And that's what I've primarily eaten since then. And it just that was a game changer for me because I think it had enough fat. I don't know what it is, but it just did really, really well for me.
Nice. And do you just do? Is it like the same thing every day? Because I find myself getting that routine where I was on ribeyes for a while and I'd cook it the same way. It'd be the same time of day, and I was just like, I didn't even really think about it anymore. Are you kind of in a routine like that, or do you ever switch it up?
Exactly. Well, I mean, I try and switch it up. To the amount of calories that I eat on just that, it's anywhere from 800 to 1200. That's not enough for me, going forward. I need more than that. So I'm trying to force myself to eat more now. But yeah, for the most part, it's 3 o'clock every day. I throw a chuck steak on the cast iron skillet. It cooks in less than 5 minutes. I eat it in another less than 10, and I'm done cooking, cleaning the whole shot in 15 minutes, and I'm on with my day.
Isn't there something to that that you didn't think about before carnivore? Because it's like, how much time did we waste before thinking about cooking? Like, just like, oh, we're going to do this recipe, and there's like 20 ingredients, and you got to run to the store. It's like incredible how much freedom there is eating this way.
In the grocery store, like when I do have to go, I try and get from the farmer's market as much as I can, you know, grass fed, grass finished. I really try. I think that's important. When I do have to go to the grocery store, I'm in and out in like less than 3 minutes because I know where the steaks are. I go grab it, go self-checkout, I'm gone, and it, move on with my day. I mean, it's just so much more efficient. No cleaning. You know, my cleanup, I use a paper plate, a same fork, same knife that I wash, and I'm good to go the next day.
Right. There's something too. So there's all that new sort of weird freedom that people don't think about. But something happened for me too, where it's like, I'm in control now. Before, it was always the food. What am I going to eat? What am I going to eat? Oh, we're going to this birthday party. It's going to be birthday cake. What are we going to eat tomorrow morning? And now it's like, no, I'm in control. I'll eat that later or whatever. It's a weird kind of thing to describe to people, but it's pretty nice being in total control of yourself and not being.
It's one less thing that you have to worry about. You know, right. What am I going to eat tomorrow? I know what I'm eating tomorrow. It's going to be a chuck steak. What am I eating the next day? The same thing. And it's just, you know, will I maybe add in a chicken? Maybe. But, you know, or will I add in, you know, a couple burger patties? Maybe. But that's if I'm hungry. But I know for the most part what I'm eating.
Right. So it sounds like you're almost more lion version of carnivore. Is that right?
For the first 2 months, I was strict lion. I mean, I had no dairy. I ate, you know, I didn't even eat eggs. I don't like eggs. That's why I don't eat them. And I just straight up ate beef for 2 months straight. And that was, I got under the 250 mark in 2 months. Nice. And I was like, okay, this is working. And then now I give myself a little bit of play to where, okay, I want to be able to live my life too.
Right. That's really cool. Yeah, I did the opposite. I started out beef, butter, bacon, eggs, and then I found myself stalling. And then I interviewed kind of my hero, Dante from Frig No Freedom, who inspired me to do carnivore. And when I interviewed him, this was like 60 days ago, he said to me, "Kerry, I just hit day 900 of doing lion diet, 900 days of just beef." And I was like, man, if this guy could do it for 900 days, I could go another 10. I was on day 90 of carnivore. I was like, I'll do 10 to get to 100. Yeah. I felt so much better on lion. And immediately, I always tell people this, if you're doing carnivore and you stall out, it's not that hard to go from carnivore to lion. It's really not that bad. And if you do, everyone that's done it that I've heard of, it's like, you're stalling out. That weight will just start coming off again. That's what happened for me. And then I was like, I'm lion for life. But I don't know if you heard this whole story, Ryan, but I was just in Alaska filming with Bill, and I planned it all good. We had an Airbnb. We could cook our own food. We got there early enough. We went to buy meat, and they didn't have any steaks or anything. They just had a little bit of ground beef, and Bill wasn't joking about the meat in Alaska. It's expensive, and it was scarce, at least at the place I went to. But anyways, I got this big pot roast. I put it in the slow cooker. I'm like, I'm going to eat that before we're going to Bill's tomorrow to film, and it wasn't ready. And then my daughter Emma made her world famous, she calls it the power bowl. It's beef, butter, bacon, eggs all in a bowl. It's just like a big scramble. I was like, I didn't want to do it, but I was like, day 60, I'm like, I gotta eat something. I'm gonna be filming with Bill all day today. So I ate that, and thankfully I was fine. People are like, oh, you're so dramatic, but going 60 days on just beef and then going back to a bunch of bacon and stuff like that, I've heard a lot of people, they could have a bad reaction or your stomach hurts or something just that first day. But luckily I was fine. But here's the thing. I don't know. I wanted to ask you, Ryan. So you're down 100 pounds. Like, are you good now, or are you still going a little bit? You look great.
Well, first off, I got to tell you this, that what you're doing for Bill is incredible. And I think you should be highly commended for that. I mean, going and you're going to save the guy's life. And, you know, I just, that's really, really incredible what you're doing for him. And that's I need to give you some props on that, because
I really appreciate that. Thank you. I'm glad I had a part in it, but I try to be. I don't like to take all the credit because I think the hardest part about doing this diet is being brave enough to make the decision to do it. A lot of people aren't, and Bill was. And man, I'm so happy after visiting with him because I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, this guy was addicted to sugar just like I was, and a lot of people would. Maybe he just drops back on it. It's totally in Bill's hands now, but after just meeting with him and spending so much time with him, I really am confident he's gonna do this thing. And furthermore, he's already inspiring so many people. It gets me so fired up. He started his YouTube channel and I'm like, dude, well, I'll help promote it as best I can. I don't know what's gonna happen. He's got over 10,000 subscribers. And you've been doing YouTube for years, so you know how hard that is.
Oh, it's incredibly hard.
From 0 to 10,000, and that was in like 3 days. And I'm not taking all the credit for this. This is the amazing carnivore community. I gave them the little push, and then everyone took over. But Ryan, the other thing that was crazy is a lot of people will get to 1,000 subscribers, right? And they're like, oh, I can get monetized now. No, you have to get that 4,000 watch hours. Mm-hmm. And Bill did that. I think it was like a day and a half or 2 days. He hit it already. His video was 40 minutes. He keeps saying, he's probably watching now too. He's like, I'm so nervous. I'm not good at this. I'm like, the thing with Bill is he's a natural storyteller. He was made to do YouTube. He did his first video was 40 minutes.
I watched it.
His engagement numbers on that are through the roof. And I'm like, Bill, you look at the numbers. That's what YouTube wants. And that's why you got that the watch hours so quickly. Because people are actually watching your stuff because you're an engaging, you're a good storyteller. So, yeah, I'm sorry. I could talk about Bill forever, but I'm so fired up about him.
As for your question, I want to go through a more of a recomposition, if that makes sense. I'm 180, 181 right now, and that's a little bit too small for I'm 6'3". I want to be able to put on muscle, but I still got a little bit to lose. So I'd actually really like to get up to like 190, 200 ish, right. just bigger muscle wise. So, I'm trying to lose fat, put on muscle. So I'm good kind of where I'm at. I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose more.
Right. See, that's a tricky thing too. It's kind of a good problem to have, but, and not for some people though. We have, Carrie from My Metamorphosis. I did an interview with her a while ago. She lost a lot of weight on carnivore. Now she's losing too much. And she's actually like, I'm trying to keep it on now. It's like coming off too quick. That'll be interesting to watch your YouTube channel. Oh, and shout out too to your YouTube channel. I have it on the bottom of the screen. Anybody watching here, go check out Ryan Against the Grain. I love your videos. They're so entertaining. And I was just talking, the craziest things are happening lately. I had my mom on earlier. She's been carnivore now for a couple months, and my stepdad, and they're thriving. I was like, do a live stream with me, mom. It was really fun. Well, then my other sister started 2 weeks ago. She lives down a couple hours from me, and she's doing really well. And now, long story short, my other sister, I only have two sisters. She lives way up north. She live chatted in on my mom's live stream. She's like, yeah, I didn't want to tell you this, but I secretly started doing carnivore when I saw you guys last time, like a month and a half ago. So it's like both of my sisters, my mom, my stepdad, it's like everyone's carnivore now. I'm like, this is just going crazy.
That's
but awesome. Anyways, my sister who I was talking to, she's like, oh, that guy, Ryan, I love his channel. So she was watching YouTube before all of this. So you got a really cool channel. I mean, you've been reaching a lot of people. That's awesome.
Well, if the channel blew up, I mean, I put up the one video about, you know, losing 100 pounds, and I did in just under 7 months, and boom, I went, oh man, I haven't had that kind of, you know, growth on YouTube ever. Yeah. And it was really cool. And that's the more direction probably the channel is going to go, because it seems it's what I'm into right now. And it's what the subscribers want. So it's something that really it's pretty cool. And the encouragement, you know, a lot of the, you know, on the internet, you always think, oh, what the bad is going to happen. But my gosh, like 99% of the comments are all cool and all good. And it's a good feeling.
Yeah. It's so funny. I love your story because it's very similar to mine. We both lost 100 pounds. You're farming. I'm doing homesteading. But I've been doing YouTube for 8 years, just tinkering around doing homestead videos. And I was like, I want to do this 30-day update on carnivore. And just like you exactly described, that happened to me too. The video just went nuts. And I was just going to do that one video. I'm like, I will go back to carnivore or homesteading videos. But you're probably getting the same thing. I keep getting these comments and people are like, dude, you inspired me. You, just your video, whatever. It clicked with me. And now I started carnivore and now I've been doing it for 30 days or 50 days. And I keep getting these comments. I'm like, well, I should probably do another video like this. And now I'm just hooked on doing the carnivore videos and getting these comments and stuff like that. So.
Well, it's really special. And I hope that what I'm going to probably start doing is weaving what I'm doing with the farm into this to, you know, be able to educate people on, you know, what to look for in meat, you know, the better qualities, what you can do, you know, for yourself. And hey, if anything, my perfect world, everybody would be able to grow their own food themselves, raise their own beef, raise their own chicken and everything. And, you know, if I can help people, do that, then it's a win in my book.
That is so cool. I'd love to talk to you more about that too, because I'm a homesteader, but if anyone's watched my channel, it's like we were city slickers and we don't know what the heck we're doing. And a lot of my videos have just been like, hey, figure it out with us. We'll make a bunch of mistakes and we'll build a greenhouse. And then by the end of it, hopefully we'll learn together kind of thing. My neighbors, they do grass-fed beef. Could you just give us a little breakdown? Like, so you mentioned grass-fed, grass-finished. There's a lot of people on here that are completely new. Like, what are some of the differences? Grass-fed, grass-finished?
Okay. Well, as far as titles go, you can kind of throw those out the window. The USDA removed the qualification for grass-fed beef, the label, a few years ago. It used to be to where a beef had to be on grass for 90 days of its life and it'd be considered grass-fed. Well, the way that the industry works is just the way that the cattle works. They're going to be on pasture for, unless it's veal, for more than 90 days out of their life, because for the first 6 months, the calf is sucking on the mama, getting, you know, nursing. And so they're both on pasture. Then usually what happens is it gets sold after 6 months, and then from 6 to 9 to maybe 12, it goes to another kind of finisher to where they put on weight with grass. And then after that, from anywhere from 9 to 14 months, it goes to a feedlot, and then that's where it's force-fed corn and soybeans and all that junk and, you know, whatever else that they throw in there. So it's as far as labels, don't trust them. Just, you know, you can't. It's like the word natural. Okay, what does that mean? It's a wide variety, and if it says it's natural, it's probably not natural. So the best way to describe this, especially you know, doing grass-fed, grass-finished, if you want, okay, what is grass-fed, grass-finished? It means that it was on grass 100% of its life, never eaten any corn, never eaten anything but grass, hay, and mineral. That's about all. So what's the best way to find it? Go to your local farmers. I mean, it sounds like, oh, I could never do that. I could never get out there. I don't know anybody. They're not that hard to find. They're not that hard to find. You know, the way that it's been described, you know who cuts your hair. You know who is your dentist. You know the person that washes your car, but you don't know where your food comes from. You don't know the first name of your farmer. That's right. A problem. That's a problem. You know, and I'm not talking Farmer John either, okay? Like, you need to know, go see where your food comes from, because you are what you ate. And it's so incredibly important. And that's where, you know, I do disagree with a lot of the people that say, oh, just go eat meat, whatever. I understand if you're on the tightest budget in the world, fine, go for it. It's better than what's out there. But to go just that little bit extra mile, and especially if you can go buy a quarter, a half, or a full beef, guess what? You're going to get it cheaper than you can at the grocery store. You're going to get it better, and it's going to be, you know, it's that yellow fat. It's not that white fat. You know what's going into it. You know, look at where the mad cow disease came from. They're feeding dead cows to cows. Like, that's a problem. You don't know what's going in that food. If you can see it for your eyes, your own eyes, then you know what? That's way better.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm so lucky, because just like a mile from me, my neighbors, they raise cattle, and they opened a little store. They took forever because the local government or whatever wouldn't let them open, but they were finally able to open. So It's a bunch of grass-fed beef, and you can just go in a little store and buy it. It's right down the road from me. And the prices are way better than I'd get in the store. The quality's way better. It's not perfect, but I tell people too, like, well, people are like, well, that's nice for you. You just happen to have it right down the road. But I'm like, if I lived like an hour and a half or 2 hours away, it would still be worthwhile to just drive out here, bring a big cooler with and fill the whole thing up and take it home and get it local, know where it came from, support a local farmer too, and then bring it back. So that's what I would do, even if I lived a little further away.
It's so important, and it really does make a difference. You know, I said this earlier, you know, you don't think it makes a difference. Just do an experiment. Okay. 1 month, do beef from your local grocery store, conventional, everything. Another month, next month, go do grass-fed, grass-finished. You know where it came from. Tell me how you feel in a month.
Right.
Yeah. You're your best experiment. You're your best judge. That will tell you right then and there if it's worth it for you to keep doing.
Right. So you're doing regenerative farming. Do you have any of your own meat, or are you buying all yours outside, or how's that working?
We're a couple weeks away from processing our first steers.
Oh, wow.
So it takes a while to grow the farm. You know, I wanted to do everything. I didn't get anything old. I got everything real as super young as I can, to where I could see, as you know, closely. You know, the steers I bought were 6 months old, or, you know, some of them maybe even, I think they was told 6 months, but maybe even a little younger than that. You know, I wanted to be able to have, I wanted to know exactly what was going in them, because the steers that I bought, I don't know if what they were given beforehand. They're probably given some cubes and some treats. But like the calves that were born on the farm, I know exactly what's in those. So our first calves that were born here are getting processed next year. The steers are getting processed very shortly.
That's exciting. Are you going to have some of that on the YouTube channel?
Yeah, I probably will. I'm going a little bit of a different direction, because I was going to do, are you familiar with Joel Salatin?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I modeled the farm exactly like his. I've been to Polyface. I've interviewed Joel on the channel. He's my inspiration for everything that I'm doing on that end. I'm going a little bit of a different direction with the farm. I was going to do direct to consumer, do the farmers markets, do things around here. But with the explosion of growth on the YouTube channel recently, it's made me rethink that a bit. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to get my own beef from, you know, I'll probably keep half a steer for myself, but the rest I'm going to process into grass-fed, grass-finished, longhorn beef jerky, no salt, or, well, no sugar, no spices, to where, you know what, because the channel's grown so much, I'll be able to ship that across the country and maybe even across the world, to where it, you know, I feel like it's something that's missing in this community is, okay, I'm hungry and I want a snack, but where do I go? You know, it's hard. I have a very hard time finding grass-fed, grass-finished anything, let alone beef jerky that you can have in your car. You know, what if you're a trucker and, you know, you don't have time to pull over for a steak or whatever? You know, you can eat that as you're going. Yes. So I'm going to try and fill that void to a degree.
I got the first order on that. I'm sure you probably got one already. I got the second order on that. Seriously, that is so cool. I love hearing that. Just the trip to Alaska. It's like, man, it's hard traveling. So to be able to take something like that with, and you, anyone out there, go try to buy some beef jerky. It's so dirty and sugar and everything. You can't find anything decent like that. I've been given the guilt trip before, Ryan, because, so I don't know if you know this, but I'm in the basement of our movie theater. With my wife and I took over a small town movie theater. We've been running it for like a year now. And they're like, how can you serve people all that stuff? Well, I tried to bring in a lot of carnivore keto stuff, and we actually have grass-fed beef sticks up there. A huge, like half the counter is all of that stuff. It's been really cool. People have been eating it, but I don't eat it because I'm so strict. Like there's like one carb in it or whatever. But your stuff that you're saying, that would be right up there. People are like, why don't you get more of that? I'm like, there just isn't. There's those carnivore snacks. I've tried those, but they come in like a gigantic bag, and I'm pretty sure they're not grass-fed, grass-finished. Yeah, that's really cool. That's awesome. You're doing that.
I'm working on getting the. I was working on packaging today. Sourcing that. So it's a process. It's not going to be an overnight thing. It's going to be over the course of maybe 2 months, 3 months, hopefully. And if we can get that up and running, I think that would be a huge, huge plus to this community and fill a void that I really think is there.
Yeah, for sure. It's just exploding too. Like, I can't believe it. At the movie theater here, every night now, I have three or four people come in and they're like, "Hey, I'm a carnivore." I'm like, "Why are you whispering? It's awesome." It's growing like crazy now. It's just, I love it. And you think about it too, like, you go to Costco or whatever now versus 10 years ago, so much of it's garbage, but there's so many keto snacks, and you look, it's growing and growing and growing. And again, I don't recommend that stuff because that stuff messed me up so bad when I was doing keto, but it shows that it's growing in popularity. So you go from keto, what's the next level up, is going to carnivore sort of thing. So, what do you have any thoughts, or do you know much about like American Wagyu beef?
It's a breed. So it's a breed of cow that, you know, it's meant to put on more fat. I don't know enough about it to speak on it. Now I'm sure that if you've seen those steaks, I can't think that those are grass-fed, grass-finished with the amount of marbling that's in them and the color of the fat, because it's all white from the pictures I've seen. I don't know much about it. I could be wrong. But I haven't messed around with that enough to know. From just a visual point, I think it's corn, and I'm pretty sure it's corn finished to get that amount of fat inside of it and the marbling.
Right. I'm still learning myself. A company sent me some samples, and I'm not going to lie, it was delicious, but I didn't know anything about it. But then the guy that was running it, he was telling me like, it's interesting, like the grass-fed, grass-finished, you get a lot of the omegas that you don't get from just buying the store-bought. There's lots of other nutrients and things like that. And he was saying some of this Wagyu stuff is actually comparable, if not has more of the omega-3s and the omegas that you get out of the grass-fed. So I don't really know that much about it. I got to learn more myself. But for the carnivore diet documentary I'm working on, I wanted to do a whole section on this. In fact, next weekend, I'm going right to my neighbor that I just mentioned earlier, where I get a lot of my grass-fed beef from, and I'm gonna do a day in the life of a beef farmer. I'm gonna go there at 4:30 in the morning. It's gonna be a fun YouTube video, but I think I want to put it in the carnivore documentary. Well, then the Wagyu beef guy, he's in Missouri. He was talking about maybe having me come down there, or when I'm going around the country filming people for the carnivore diet doc, to stop by. And he's like, I got facts and figures and stats and all this stuff on the Wagyu, and people need to take a closer look at it. So I'm like, yeah, it'd be interesting to see, do a little face off between grass fed, grass finished and Wagyu or something like that. But just to see what the options are. Kind of the thought was American beef, like the different options for buying American beef or buying locally kind of thing.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Man, that's crazy. So how long have you been doing the farming in Texas?
I got here March of 2020. So,
right.
Yeah. Just, three and a half years. Yeah. 3.5 years this month, actually. So it's been a learning experience. It's been a lot of fun. It's been, you know, to be able to eat your own chicken is pretty cool. I just processed my own, my first pigs, and I got a story with that. I think I'm realizing that I can't eat buck on this. I got my first pigs back, and I went, you know, sometimes when I don't have steaks, I'll eat a pound or two of ground beef. And I thought, okay, it's comparable to sausage. I'll just do the same thing with sausage, right? I ate sausage for 2 or 3 days in a row, pound or two, and I felt awful. Like my bones started cracking, and, you know, I started clicking, and I just felt achy, and I just did not feel right. So I mean, am I going to cut pork out completely? And I'm going to eat my bacon every once in a while, but I don't like, this is part of like this transitional process I feel like I'm in, to where I don't need to be dropping a lot. And I want to start, you know, I am starting to incorporate other things into my diet. But I don't think I can do pork, which is weird. But since I've been incorporating other stuff to my diet, like I'm eating pickles, I've had some sauerkraut, kimchi. I do, since I dropped under 250, I do one cheat day a week because that's what I look forward to. I know some of the purists out there, I think, are giving, you know, raising their fist going, oh, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. Well, it's what works for me. It's what I feel good on. It's what I look forward to. It's my little treat, you know, once a week, if that. Sometimes I don't even do it, but it's you got to find what works for you. I feel like, you know, you don't have to be, you know, if somebody looking at this for the first time, I think you need to be as strict as you can until you hit, you know, a couple of your goals, until like I said, I told myself it is completely unacceptable when I first started this out to be over 250 pounds at my height. So I was as strict as I can be until I got there. But after that, like, I think you just need to figure out what works best for you. Am I like 95% carnivore still? Yeah. You know, you know, what did I eat today? I ate a steak. What am I going to eat tomorrow? I'm going to eat a steak. But I think that's also something that needs to be said, and it needs to be addressed to the people that can handle that.
Right. Yeah. It's a really good point because I get this question. I don't know if you get this, Ryan, a lot. People will be like, tell me what you're eating, exactly what you're eating. And what, like, Ryan, what you're eating now is probably drastically different than when you started versus when you're in the middle. And the thing I'm noticing now too is I was like, oh, I'm on lion 60 days ago. I'm like, I'm a lion for life. Well, now that I've lost most of my body fat, I have to eat way more. I have to eat way more. My daughter, Emma, I was always making fun of her, but I kind of got it. But I was like, for the last like 100 days or so, she's been doing carnivore with me and she's just like a little stick. She eats way more food than I do because my body's burning that fat. It's using my body fat for energy. Well, once that's gone, then it all changes. So yeah, everybody's so unique and different. You can't go off of what other people do and then things keep changing. Whatever you're doing, my friend, is working. You're down 100 pounds. And like you said, when you get to the goal too, things change up a little bit.
You have to go into like a management mode. It's kind of weird because, yeah, I mean, like the last couple of days, I've been a bottomless pit. Like I ate 6 burger patties like nothing. I ate half a chicken like nothing. It's just like, when am I going to get full? When am I going to get, you know, so yeah, you're right. Your body fat reserves are going away and it just, it's not used to, you know, it doesn't have it to burn anymore.
Right. Well, what other things have happened for you? So you're obviously a very hard worker. You got the whole farm you're working on. I'm assuming you're getting more energy, or have you noticed any other sort of off-scale things happening?
My energy, I can't get tired. I cannot get tired. I have, you know, I have my you know, on your phone, it keeps your steps or whatever, right? I mean, my average walking a day is 17 to 25,000 steps. Sometimes it's up to 40 something thousand steps and stuff. Right. And I just, like, you know, I'm running around, I'm doing a lot, I'm working out, I'm doing everything I can to try and get tired. I can't get tired. It kind of freaks me out. So energy level through the roof. Then, I noticed something the other day, you know, out here in the country, you help people, you know, the neighbors help each other. And helped this guy down the street. He needed to work some cows. He needed to move some from, you know, place to place with for the grass, you know, just eat grass. I was getting a cow out of a trailer because it got in there, wasn't supposed to. And I was trying to shoo it down the chute. And this cow rears back and kicks me. And it was the hardest kick that I've ever felt in my life. There's a 1,400-pound cow, kicks me directly on the shin. Okay. Ooh. It hurt. Like, I mean, I was able to get out of the chute and my mind processed. I said, okay, I just got kicked. Then the pain started to creep up and it went here. And I said, okay, it'll stop. No, it went here. I thought it'll stop. No, I mean, it hurt for like 2 hours. I had a big old knot on my shin. You know, it was huge. Like, you could see the indentation from where the hoof hit me. And when I pulled up my pant leg, I thought my bone was going to be sticking out. Funny enough, I go to the house, I ice it, I put it up. And I'm not able to walk on it much for that day. I thought, oh man, tomorrow's going to suck. Tomorrow's going to be bad because it's going to be all, you know, big and, you know, swollen and all this stuff. And I wake up the next morning, I kind of move my leg before I get up out of bed. I stand on it, perfectly fine. What the heck? I go feel down my leg and I go, it's not swollen. The swelling's completely gone. Normally it would stay for a while. I have 2 torn rotator cuffs. And I need Tommy John surgery. I blew up my arm when I was in high school. I was a pitcher. And When I'm doing, you know, pounding and T-posts and stuff, that's when it affects my elbow. When I'm doing stuff over my head, that's when it really affects my shoulder. My shoulder will pop out occasionally, you know, every 6-8 weeks or whatever. It'll just pop out of its socket. And I'd have to go to a doorway and I have to go slam it back in. It hurts like you wouldn't believe. But I normally the next few days I have to get up in the morning and I have to start icing it. I have to use my laser. I have to use TENS units and all this stuff to, you know, I have a whole routine. I've done dealt with this for 10 plus years to get the swelling down and for it to go in. And it usually take me 3 or 4 days to get back to normal. Shoot, the next day it's fine. It's perfectly fine. So as far as inflammation going on in my body, like there's none. Like my elbow's not swollen like it normally is. My shin issue perfectly, being literally just overnight. I mean, I still had a little bit of a bruise, but as far as I thought it was going to be huge, nothing. It's really crazy.
It's nuts. It's nuts for people that aren't doing it, but then the carnivores are shaking their head because everything you said is the same for me. The endless energy, like never getting tired. It's the weirdest thing. It's like before I would do something, I'd be like, oh, I got to go take a nap or something. Now you just don't get tired anymore. It's so weird. And then like you mentioned inflammation. I think that is the biggest thing that everybody on this earth should be worrying about. Nobody does. I don't know if this happens to you, Ryan, but people are like, oh, Carrie, you lost 100 pounds. You look great, but I want to see your LDL numbers. You're going to have a heart attack. And the truth of the matter is, I keep quoting this. I'm going to just keep doing it. Dr. Ovadia just booked. He's going to be on our 24-hour live stream, so I'm excited. And I have him on the channel next week. But he was talking about this new study, and he's like, if you have like poor LDL numbers, you're 1.6 times more likely to have heart disease. If you have poor metabolic health, if you're eating sugar and you got a lot of inflammation, you're pre-diabetic, you're 6x more likely to have heart disease. Everyone in the world that I know that isn't carnivore has pretty much poor metabolic health and inflammation, and they're eating sugar and they're eating junk food, and they're all completely oblivious to that. They're only worried about that LDL number because we've been so brainwashed for so long. But
well, I did a video on that. I actually just lined up perfectly. I just turned 30 years old, and you know, when you're 29, you can get life insurance for a lot cheaper than you can at 30. So I said, you know what, I'm going to get my life insurance done. Well, they had to take a blood test on me. I got the results back, and this is after 6.5 months doing carnivore. I did a whole video. I released all my numbers. Everything came out perfect, 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 perfect. And then I was able to go, hey, mom, see what you were talking about? Here you go.
Nice. That's awesome. How long were you on before you did the test, roughly?
6.5 months. It wasn't by choice, but it was just, yeah, I mean, I perfectly fine.
I've been meaning to do the test. I'm going to do the same thing, good or bad or whatever. I'm putting it on there. We got to get more honesty in this world. There's so much biased stuff out there. I'm pretty confident my numbers are going to be good because I feel amazing. But I heard a couple people say you should wait for at least 6 months because your hormones and everything are still fluctuating around and stuff. So I'm doing it on the 6 month mark myself too, which is similar to you. But yeah, that inflammation is crazy. And I had aches and pains that I didn't realize I had. I lived with them so long that went away on carnivore. I was like, man, my lower back for 10 years. Yeah. I thought it was an injury in high school or something. I lifted something weird. It's just, it's always going to be like that. Nope, it's gone. And the biggest thing for me, I don't know if this was one for you, Ryan, but the snoring. The first week, first couple of days I was doing keto before, I stopped snoring. And I was on a CPAP machine before this. Oh, wow. I was literally gasping for air every night. And I stopped snoring. That was one Dr. Jordan Peterson said too, and a lot of other people on my channel, is they stopped snoring within like a week. My wife started doing carnivore, and it was kind of creepy, but I videotaped her every night. It's a science experiment. And it was like day two carnivore, her snoring was 80%, day three, 60, 40, 20, 10. And by day six, no more snoring. And it was just beautiful. You could just see the inflammation and her body getting healthier again from getting those inflammatory foods out of her system. I hear that comment from so many people. And so many people too, they're just like, yeah, I get 8 hours sleep, I'm fine. No, if you're snoring and gasping for air, it's so bad for your body. That's
sleeping less. I don't need as much sleep anymore, by nearly enough. Like I'm able, okay, I'm up, it's early. Like, all right, let's get the day started before the heat hits.
Yeah. For me too, it gets less and less and less the further I'm going. It's crazy. When I was in Alaska with Bill, we got all this great footage. I'm like, I gotta back this stuff up. I gotta look at it. I slept 2 hours the first night. And then we filmed the whole next day. And then the next day, I'm like, I got to get more sleep. I slept 4 hours the next – like, the whole time I was in Alaska, I think I maybe slept 8 hours total for, like, 4 days. I passed out when I got home and hibernated for, like, a day. But still, I wasn't tired, to your point earlier. Like, I was getting a little fatigued, but just that – it's weird. The stamina thing, it's crazy.
You can just keep pushing yourself. It's crazy on this. I just keep finding new levels, and it's just like, oh, this is nice. I like this. I've never been in this kind of shape before in my life, even when I was playing baseball.
Yeah. Well, that's the physical side. What about the mental side for you? Because that's been crazy for me too. Like, I try not to attribute everything to carnivore, but once I started really doing good on carnivore, I'm like, man, my brain is just, it seems to be working better. I'm more organized. I don't have the brain fog anymore, which I definitely had before. I was always struggling trying to find my words and things like that. Have you noticed any differences on the mental side?
On the beginning, yes, but for the worse. I could not think. The first 2 weeks, like, you know, I move my cows every day with an electric fence, and I do a call to call them through, and that's how they know to come through. I go and I undo the electric fence, and I remember I'm just standing there staring at them. And they're like, okay, you're going to move, or you're going to call us through? What are you going to do? And I had to think about everything like two or three times in order for me to get it. But then after that light spot, that light switch hit, oh, like I'm good to go. Like, I don't get tired. I can think clearly. I'm all there.
Nice. Yeah. The brain clarity has been great for me. Again, I try not to attribute it all to carnivore, but it's like, so I do the YouTube channel. That's just started really going crazy. Maybe that's because the carnivore videos are more popular, but I feel like I'm doing better videos, better content, more organized stuff. But then the other stuff, my wife and I have an Airbnb, a dog kennel, a lot of little smaller businesses, but everything, like if you looked at it on a graph, it's like everything is just being more successful and more organized and better on carnivore. Maybe it's just because I'm not sleeping as much too. That could be playing into it, but I don't know. I know I definitely don't ever want to go back to the former way for sure.
No, I never want to feel like I did. Shoot, I put on a 20-pound vest, you know, the weight vest, the other day, and I don't know how I moved. I don't know how I moved around with all that on, and I went, this is a lot of weight. Yeah. This is how much I lost, and I just was moving around, and I was just. I got significantly tired just carrying that around. You don't realize it.
Yeah. Yeah. I always tell people that, like, 100 pounds, go grab 100 pounds once. Well, not to try to overdo your story, but that was a big conversation with Bill. And Bill just jumped on here. I don't know if he's still on, but hey, Bill, when I was filming him, he's like, I want you, Carrie, to film me doing my walk from the bed to the bathroom area. He's like, it's the hardest time of my entire day. And so when Bill was in his prime, he was 200 pounds. He's 700 now. That man is carrying 500 pounds. I'm like, I don't know how, I really don't know how he's physically even doing that. And he's barely doing it anymore either. So, I mean, he needed this. But over the last 2 weeks, he's actually doing it a lot better. He sat on the edge of the bed so I could interview him. He's like, Carrie, I used to do this. It would be like 10 minutes. I'd be panting and like exhausted. And he sat there. I think he was there for like an hour or something. He's like, this is crazy. He was having these realizations there. He's like, this is crazy. And his knee used to kill him. To your point earlier, I was like, Bill, that was the inflammation. His knee's like not hurting him anymore. And he's feeling like his skin between his legs used to rub together when he was walking. That's going down. As all this stuff in just a couple of weeks, it's mostly just inflammation, but that inflammation is so bad for you. But I said to Bill, I'm like, dude, we always got it. There's always a bright side. So you're carrying an extra 500 pounds now. Imagine how freaking strong you're going to be you go down to 200 pounds. You're going to be like a superhero or something. You dude could carry around 500 pounds on him. You got the muscle under there to carry it. So.
That's going to be incredible to see. I know he's gonna drop massive amounts of weight, and you know, just with you helping him and from watching his videos, I know he's gonna do it.
Yeah, I feel that way even more now that I went and met with him and spent a bunch of time with him, and he's fired up. He just got a half a cow delivered. He's gonna be doing a video. People were asking about that. Someone was asking what's his diet. So he's strict carnivore. However, when I was leaving, he's like, you know what? I'm doing carnivore right now. When I get my cow, I'm switching over. I'm going to do lion diet. He's like, I got a lot of weight to lose. We're not going to mess around. So he's going to try lion going forward, but he's fired up. And I mean, I'm glad I had a small part in it, but he's the one that made the decision to do it. And then the other thing, to Ryan's point earlier, is this carnivore community is insane. They're so supportive and so helpful for him. Like I said, I did YouTube videos for 8 years on homesteading. Nothing against the homesteading crowd. They're great. But I'd get like a couple comments here or there. Like, you do a carnivore video, it's just love and comments, and everyone's like great mood and everything. It's just a different situation altogether. But that's been helping Bill immensely. I told him.
He got a lot of people rooting for him.
Yeah. I was like, Bill, you don't have to put the little heart next to every comment. He was stressing about that because he had thousands of comments those first couple of days. He's just like hours, just heart. I'm like,
I know, that's what's crazy. I used to try and reply to every one of them. It's just like, oh my gosh, I can't keep up with it. It's really awesome.
It's wonderful, and it's becoming a curse for me too. I feel bad because I used to do every single one. Are you getting some of these, Ryan? So this is happening more and more, especially after the Bill video and especially after the 10-hour live stream we did a while back. I will get like this, like a whole essay, and it's always heartfelt, and it's someone's life story. Like, I got to tell you this. This is what happened. I'm doing carnivore. It's really positive, but you get like 10 of these, and then you open Facebook, and there's 10 more, and then you open Instagram. It's like, I'm not going to be able to do the carnivore documentary and keep up with these. So it's a good problem to have, but do you get some things like that where it's just these
those comments, you know, I was here, then I was here, and you know, and just, I feel like what reading the comments, especially those, it's like they want to just say a little something, and then they just end up pouring their whole hearts out, and it's like it's really cool to see, you know. I do appreciate those ones. I really try and respond to. And it's just, it's great seeing, you know, people really succeed with this and change their lives, and, you know, realize that they're in control, that they're the ones that are, that, you know, it's their decision to do this, and they're seeing the results from it. It's just really cool to see.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time I read one too, you get goosebumps. It's like, this person just changed their life forever. And you know, it's like, they finally found the answer. Like, this is the answer. Yeah, it's crazy. And the thing too is, I try, when I get these long ones, I'm like, I'm reading every one, because like, this is the length of the one that Bill sent me the first time, and he said the same thing. It was kind of what you just said, Ryan. He's like, oh, I was just gonna start out with a little comment, and then he's like, nope, it turns into he's just pouring his whole heart out, and it's like an essay. And it's weird for me too, because I was like, I'm gonna do that 30-day video. This is kind of a passion thing. This is so cool. All these people are fired up. But now it's like a responsibility. It's like, you know, this information, there's so many people out there suffering or hopeless, or because my thing too wasn't just the weight. I had really bad depression for many, many years. And this is completely, I have no depression. I have no anxiety whatsoever. And that alone is worth the price of admission. If I was still 100 pounds heavier and I could feel like with this mood and the no depression, I'd totally do it without a doubt. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's awesome to hear. And you know, it's this whole with the videos blowing up like they have, and just the influx of people really interested in this, I had to change the name of the channel. You know, it used to be Freedom Foods Farm. That might be when you saw the farming videos. But you know, with everything, I decided, you know, I don't get grain, my cows don't get grain, and I always do stuff against the grain, so it just works. I feel like on those three levels, it just works better.
That's a great name. That's awesome. Yeah, so what, you're in Texas. Like, what part of Texas are you in?
Northeast Texas. And look at Dallas, DFW, and it's an hour and a half east of Dallas. So too far away, but far enough away from the city.
Well, I don't know if you want any visitors, but maybe at some time, if you'll have me, I'd love to come down and visit you.
Yeah, please. Love to show you around the farm. Love to introduce you to the cows, the horses, the llamas, the everything that I got going on here. It's a great time. It's fun.
Yeah, I'd love to see all of that. We've got chickens, and we've got, I don't even want to talk about this, but we got three male goats, which I don't know. Talk about, laugh it up. That was my wife's decision. Although, in her defense, it has worked out. We've had them for 8 years because we have an Airbnb on our property. So those male goats, they're like a little petting zoo. And they actually, our guests will come and take them and they'll walk them around. We got 20 acres. They'll walk them around the property. So they are getting their money's worth to some degree. But yeah, male goats are pretty useless otherwise. Just goes to show you, like I said, we're city slickers trying to figure this thing out. But
are they intact or are they weathers?
What's it?
Are they intact or are they weathered?
They're weathered.
Oh, okay. I was going to say three male. Oh, that'd be fun during mating season with them.
Yeah. Oh, God. Got enough problems. Yeah. And they're very entertaining. So we have this Airbnb and it's like the second level of our house. Mm-hmm. And we just a while ago, we had a guest call us and we're like, yeah, your goats got out. They came up the steps and they're banging their head on the glass patio door. Like, can you come get them, please? I'm like, oh, sure. So
that's awesome.
Guests get a kick out of them. But I'm going to – so this carnivore diet documentary, I'm sure you probably heard about it, obviously, with the bill. The bill's going to be the big story in there. But we're getting stories from people all over the country. So I don't know when it's going to happen, but I'm planning on doing a road trip. And just earlier today, I started filming. It's not live yet, but I'm filming with they're called the Sightless Carnivores. It's a husband and wife, and they're both blind. And they're
Whoa.
They're in Texas, right in your area. I think they said northeastern Texas. Huh.
Okay.
But they're both blind and they're thriving on carnivore, and I'm going to be hopefully traveling over by them to document their story for the documentary.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there's a bunch of other people down in that area too. But yeah, well, I'd love to go see what a real farm is doing.
That I run. So you know, I got that open for you whenever you're ready.
I'm sorry. What was it?
I do Airbnb as well with the house across the way. So nice. Yeah, so come by and hey, that's open to you whenever you want.
That's so cool. Man, we got a lot in common. Airbnbs, yeah. Carnivore. That's cool.
Pretty awesome.
So on the carnivore side, what about like friends and family? Like, are they like, dude, this guy Ryan's pretty crazy? Or are they
well, on board? They already knew that. Yeah. You know, that's you know, against the grain, that's me. When I first told people that I was doing this, everybody, there was pushback. I didn't tell my mom or my dad for a while until I got the results, because I knew that there was going to be pushback from especially my mom. And then once the blood test numbers came in, she was like, oh, okay, you're good now. But my friends know me. I have friends that are nutritionists that say, oh, Ryan, you can't do that. Your cholesterol is going to go through the roof and all this stuff. And after the first time that I don't listen to them, they know, just let Ryan do his thing.
Nice. Have you always been like that? Cause that's another interesting thing. I'm always like that. Like if everybody is going down this path, I'm like, no, I'll go off here into the woods or something. Like I'm always doing things weird or different than other people. It sounds kind of like you're similar in that way.
Oh yeah, you know, if everybody wants, if the GPS is telling you to make a left turn, you know, go right. Why? Because that's more interesting.
Right. Yeah. It's a weird thing, but it's really true. It's like all the decisions I made in my life have always been kind of what the most of the people and my peers aren't doing.
And you end up living a more interesting, fun life, and you probably are a lot happier as well with it too, huh?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like even our property that we bought. It was on the market for 2 years. It's a beautiful property now, but like I think 300 people looked at it. Nobody wanted to touch it because it was just a big fixer-upper, needed a ton of work. So I was the weird one and we took it, but now everyone looks at it like, oh, you're so lucky you got that thing for so cheap. And I'm like, no, dude, we had to work like a year and a half to make it even livable. But in retrospect, I'm happy we did it. But
Shoot, everybody thought I was crazy for going from LA County to start a farm.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is pretty crazy. So what were you doing before in LA? Like, how did you get into the farming stuff?
I always thought that I would retire on a farm. I always thought that I'd, you know, get out of the city, get away from people. You know, just have my, I've always liked animals too. And, but then, I was just looking at it more and more, and I'm impatient. So I said, there's no time like the present. And I just made the move and got out here and kind of figured it out along the way.
Nice. That's really cool. Well, hey, should we take a couple questions here? We got some live chats and some questions coming through.
Yeah.
Let's see what we got here. This has been crazy. So, So just real quick, I'm going to post. We got Ryan's YouTube channel on the bottom. I got it in the description below. Everyone watching, go check out his channel. Subscribe. He's got some awesome videos over there. I was watching him before I was even doing carnivore stuff. I've got the carnivore diet movie. I always mention it real quick because some people don't know. We're filming real people over the course of the year doing carnivore diet. We just went out and filmed Bill in Alaska, which was amazing. But we're filming other people. We're filming people with mental health, type 2 diabetes, aging, women's health, like all the different categories, depression, anxiety. See how they do for a year. No agenda, no bias, just the honest truth. Show those examples because I think that's what fires people up to change their lives forever is seeing an example, not telling them what to do. And this whole thing's being crowdfunded. So we've got a GoFundMe. Every penny I get from Super Chats goes to the Carnivore Diet documentary. And then if people join my channel, which I don't know what happened yesterday, just a ton of people started joining. If you join my channel, there's a little join button underneath it. It's a couple dollars a month. Every penny goes to Carnivore Diet documentary for that too. And then we give you like insider things. Like I posted a bunch of stuff on there. There's more coming up tomorrow. Behind the scenes photos. If Bill's still on here, Bill, I had a photo of you, a Polaroid I think Emma took with you and Daisy. So there's little behind the scenes things and updates on the documentary that you get if you're a member. So I just wanted to mention that quick because I was just looking and there's a bunch of new members coming in. So that's awesome. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Cool. Peachy's a new member. Meet Me Anita. Cool name. I Like Rocks. Birdo became a YouTube member. Carnivore Lions, $5. Thank you. And Carnivore Scott, $5. Thank you. All right. Then we got a couple questions here. This cool. one, I get a lot on my channel. I don't know about this. People keep asking me about these things, but do you know anything about people jabbing or meat cows?
As far as what context, because most of the time cows are vaccinated. I don't do that with mine because I don't think they need it unless they get in trouble. I'll give them an antibiotic unless they're in a lot of trouble. But as far as jabbing, there is shots that are given. I don't know too much about it because I don't do it. But as far as if we're talking about the other kind of jabbing, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't either. I get that question, the other type of jabbing. I get that one a lot too. I don't know. I think you're better off. That's why I'm really looking forward to interviewing my neighbor.
I know your farmer and you don't have to worry about it.
Exactly. Yep. Hey, and Ryan, I want to be respectful of your time. I don't even think we set a time, but I can't believe it's been an hour already. Do you have a little bit more time?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
get a couple of these questions here. That just flew by. Hey, Bill. Bill's on. Hey, Bill.
Hey, what's up, Bill?
Bill just got his big order of meat. He was just saying his brothers are helping him unload it. He's got another video coming out showing the meat he got. So that's pretty cool. Question for Ryan. What is a typical day like for you on your ranch?
Oof. Depends on the day. A lot of times I have it wired to where like I can go move my cows, go do everything I need to do in like an hour, hour and a half in the morning. I try and get it outside as early as I can in the morning to, you know, to where it's not as hot. And then I got an Airbnb to run. I have a couple different businesses running. I'm working on this beef jerky company right now. And, editing videos takes a little bit of time too.
Yes. Yeah. People have no clue about that part either.
No, it takes a lot longer than you think.
Yeah, for sure.
Like 10 editing minutes for every minute, something like that. Or
yeah. I don't even want to start talking about the documentary too, because you know when I do YouTube, you always have extra footage, right? On this documentary, oh Ryan, you should have seen it. Emma and I got back at the end of the night and we had this kitchen counter. It looked like a war zone of batteries and spent memory cards or just stuff everywhere. I'm like, we literally film nonstop. We're here. This is an expensive trip. We're going to get everything we can. So, hey, this is my mom, Liz. Great job. Thanks, Carrie, for all these carnivores and their stories. Yeah, absolutely. So everyone, I didn't know this. I told her to start a channel. I guess she had one already. So my mom's got a channel. Everyone on the earlier live stream was like, mom has to do her own YouTube video.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
If anyone out there does a carnivore YouTube video, I will shout it out and promote it. We need more carnivore voices out there. So go check out my mom's channel, Liz Adventure Carnivore. Hopefully she'll start posting some carnivore videos on there. I think she was definitely thinking about it after today's video.
Yeah.
Aurora asks, which air fryer is the best? The one Bill has looks pretty good. Do you use an air fryer, Ryan? Oh, I think we froze up for a second there. You got it. Do you use an air fryer, Ryan?
No, I don't own one. I don't know anything about it. I use a cast iron skillet, and that's about it.
Yeah, hey, that's the way to go. I started using an air fryer on day 30, and surprisingly, very counterintuitive, it makes a pretty darn good steak. I don't know how it works, but I know Bill has the – I don't know what brand I have. I really don't know. I prefer the cast iron skillet. Sometimes I'll use the air fryer if I'm in a pinch or in a hurry. Bill has the Ninja, and he swears by that thing. And he cooked up, I think it was a ribeye the other day, and it looked really good. So
I saw that.
Yeah, the Ninja is the only one I could kind of suggest based on Bill's experience. Woodster72, you were on the live stream yesterday. Thanks for the question. If you could only pick two things that have improved from carnivore, what would you pick?
I've improved on to improve on carnivore?
You know, I think improvements that you've noticed.
The weight loss 100%, and I think coincides with that is the energy. I mean, that's just those two things. I mean, I have one of those scales. I don't know how accurate it is. You know, you get on and tells you body fat and all this stuff, and it said, you know, one of the things is metabolic age. And when I was 286.6, it said I was 36 when I was 29 at the time. Now it says I'm 26, so that makes me feel pretty good. And
nice.
I feel younger than that. I feel great.
Yeah, I guess for me, it would be the mental health improvements and, well, the weight, I guess, definitely the weight. It's a lot nicer walking around and feeling so light and not carrying all that weight. Otherwise, I was going to say sleep. Sleep is another close one because, my goodness, my sleep has just been amazing. The first time I slept on carnivore, I just jumped out of bed. And I was like telling people, this was nuts. I don't ever remember sleeping like this before. My legs were all heavy. I felt like a kid again or something. So Tina asks, how long has Against the Grain been strict carnivore?
Well, I was strict carnivore for 2 months in the beginning. Now I do, like I said, I have a cheat day once a week. It works for me. If you're including that, then it was December 2nd, 2022. So 8 months. A little over 8 months that I've been doing this, and I've been, you know, 95% carnivore, if you want to call it that.
Nice. Okay. Let's see. We got one. Bill. Oh, he was answering a question. You're waiting for the brother to come over, and we're shooting me go through my beef order for my next video. Hey, cool. Quick question, Ryan. Have you ever been to Alaska?
No, I haven't. That's one of the few states I haven't been to, and the one of the big ones that I want to go to.
Do it. If you're like, oh, Alaska or Hawaii or something, go to Alaska. My goodness. I want to go back so bad. You can't describe the beauty of Alaska. It's like you're on another planet or something. Really? Emma has been saying the same thing. I'm like, man, I miss it. I want to go back so bad. When we were leaving, Bill and his brother were like, hey, if you go this little bit of a longer way, you go through this place called Hatcher's Pass. We're like, we were so tired. We were going to skip it. I'm so happy Emma and I went through there. It was like another planet. It was just beautiful. These huge mountains, and they're all green, and you're just going through these valleys. There's a river going by. If it was a movie set, you'd be like, this is some CGI stuff or something. This just isn't real. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable place. I can't wait to go back.
That's definitely on my bucket list for sure. That's some place I really want to see.
Yeah. Hey, I don't want to put any pressure on Bill, but I keep getting people asking. They're like, hey, when you go back to see Bill walk out of those doors for the first time, can we come with? So I'll have to talk to Bill about that. That's probably a little too much pressure, but could you imagine there's like 100 people outside? Like, yeah.
Oh, then we have a cookout. Barbecue.
Yeah. get Carnivore Kip up there. Yeah.
That'd be cool. Going.
Oh, huge shout out. I'm so happy. Russell, Grateful Carnivore. Hey, Kerry, 650 Russell in Marietta lost 19 pounds 1 week down to 476. Russell is from Georgia, and I talked to him on the phone. He saw Bill's story. He's been stuck in his house for several years, and he started carnivore, a week ago. Russell, I was trying to email you today. I spent like 20 minutes trying to find your email address because I was going to check in with you. Shoot me your email address, sir, because I think you changed it. It was Uncle something before, but homesteadhow@gmail.com. Shoot me your email. I wanted to talk to you. Maybe we could do a YouTube video or something together. He is, he started YouTube too. Grateful Carnivore. Let me just show this real quick. Got to do a quick shout out. Everyone go support this man. He's on the carnivore diet. He's doing it. stuck in his house. Grateful Carnivore. He's got 62 subscribers right now. And what do we got? We got 400 people on here right now. So if you all subscribe, we can get him to 462. I'll check back in a little bit. We'll see if we move the needle for him at all there.
Wow.
Grateful Carnivore. Oh, he did another one here too. Thank you, Russell. Really appreciate it. Then we got a new member, Paul Clark. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Cool. Let's see real quick if we had any other questions here. Yeah, I think we got through them. That's pretty cool. Man, this just flew by. So, Ryan, shout out to your YouTube channel for sure. Let me put that back up here on the screen. Against the Grain, everyone should go subscribe. What, you got anything else you'd like to shout out? I know you got a bunch of projects you're working on.
No, that's it. But that's about it right now. I just, you know, your documentary, and I'll tell you this, if you need any help with that, please let me know. I'd love to be as much of a part of that as I possibly can, because this really is, that's really something special. Because, yeah, not everybody's on YouTube. You know, you got to put this other places. And, you know, there's so many other documentaries out there that give the you know, not the best information. And, you know, when people see this, this resonates resonates with a lot more people, and it's a lot more, well, it is a lot more doable, because, hey, who doesn't like to eat steak?
Yes. Yeah, I know. People complain, like, don't you get sick of steak? I'm like, that would be like a real first world problem. And the truth is, I never, even on day 150, I got a smile on my face when I'm eating that steak. It's like my body's like, dude, 42 years later, you finally figured out what to feed me. It was really this simple the whole time, but. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I'm so excited for the documentary for those reasons exactly. There's so many more people we can reach if we get on one of these big streaming services. And again, it's not like, hey, you should do carnivore. No, it's just like, look at all these examples of people. Do what you want with it. But if you're miserable and depressed and have anxiety and brain fog, or you're overweight, it's just the food you're eating. And a lot of people are figuring this out now. So let's share those examples with the world and see what happens.
Well, it's just like Tony Robbins says, you know, find somebody that has what you want, do the same thing, expect the same. That's it. That's how I sat next to the smart people. They put C, I put C. They put D, I put D.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Man, Ryan, this is awesome. I've really enjoyed talking to you, man. We got a lot in common. We should do this again sometime. Anytime you want to come back.
Please.
Oh, another thing. Huge. I got to get this advertisement up for this, but September 16th, we're doing this 24-hour live stream. We'd love to have you on there. And I don't know if it's probably going to be a while before you get the grass-fed, grass-finished beef jerky ready, but we could shout that out on there for you. That would be a great place to start.
Thinking about possibly doing a Kickstarter with it, or like doing some pre-orders to where, okay, if people want to order in bulk, we can do something to where, you know, it's a better price. And, you know, help me out, help you out kind of thing. So we might have something like that ready to go by then.
Yeah. Oh, do it. I will be involved with that. I will definitely pre-order some, and I will definitely shout it out to my channel, because I get the question all the time, and I'm like, there's nothing. The beef jerky out there's junk. It's all junk. There's nothing I can recommend. So yeah, I'd love to shout that out. And if you want to come on the 24-hour live stream for sure, share your story, and we could shout that out too. That'd be awesome.
But I'm in for whatever you need to help get this out. You know, you're one of the leading voices in this, and I'd just like to help you in any way I can.
Oh, I appreciate it. So we'll just need you for 24 hours then, 7 a.m. Eastern.
Give me two steaks and I'm good.
Right. We'll see. Surprisingly, the 10-hour one that we did a couple of weeks back, it wasn't that bad. Like, I was like, oh my God, we're through the 10 hours now. And Primal Mike, who was on here earlier, he, at the end, he was like, really, just 10 hours? He's like, you could go another 10, couldn't you? I probably could have. However, we did it upstairs in the movie theater, and literally we had to clear everything out because the movie was starting. I'm like, so yeah, but man, this has been awesome. I really enjoy your story. You're awesome, man. 100 pounds. Congratulations. And everything else has changed for you. Captain of your own ship for sure. And then you got all the businesses going too. So yeah, everyone check out Ryan Against the Grain YouTube. He's got an amazing YouTube channel, and we'll talk to him again soon on the 24-hour live stream, September 16th, 8 a.m. Eastern. It's starting. We'll put some more advertisements. I'll shoot you some info on that too. Give you a proper invite. So
please, that'd be awesome.
Sounds good. Thank you, Ryan. Bye, everyone.
See you guys. Thanks.